Okay.
Now we are.
We're going to hold a public hearing on Senate Bill 1. We have two distinguished senators here to join us. First, we're going to take a look at this bill with Chris Allenek.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The Senate Bill 1 creates a new tax credit related to agricultural worker housing. It would, from a policy perspective, it would be a complement to the existing tax credit. It is different. Under current law, there is a construction tax credit. This tax credit is for operating expenses that are incurred during the year. It applies to both personal and corporation taxes. It depends on the business structure of the owners and operators of the housing. The credit is 50% of the eligible costs. The bill defines a number of terms. It specifies conditions that must be met for complying and obtaining the credit, and it identifies a couple issues or instances when the credit may not be claimed. It is a refundable tax credit, and also it would be unique in that part of it is refundable and it is also transferable. If the owner-operator of the housing is a tax-exempt entity, then they would be allowed to sell the credit and they would transfer the credit, and the bill spells out some details for how that would be done. There is a program cap placeholder in the bill. It's currently blank, so there's not a dollar amount in there. It does require a certification process and by the housing and DC, and depending on whether it's on-farm housing or community-based housing and employment-related housing, there's a role for DCBS and the housing department. And the credit would be effective for tax years and has a tax years 2018 through 2023.
Thank you. We have a lot of people signed up to testify on this. Let's begin with Senators Courtney and Thompson.
I'm in the middle.
I'm going to start. My name's Chuck Thompson, State Senate District 26. Thanks for having us, Chair, Co-Chair, the rest of the committee, and not where's Waldo, but where's Herman?
You tell me.
Herman's excused.
I just had to get that in, being testifying today. We bring to you Senate Bill 1. Very few chances my name would be on a bill that's Senate Bill 1. It's on Senate Bill 1 because of the good senator to my left. This bill, I'm just going to kind of give a brief history because we got a lot of people to testify to give the specifics later. So this bill originated about 2 years ago, the idea of this bill. I went to Senator Courtney's office several times during that session. Mainly they were whining sessions from me about impacts to the farmers on several bills that we had, the costs, and so I mentioned that a lot of the farmers in Hood River and around the state provide housing for the people, for their workforce. And if you look around the state, how many employers provide housing for the people that work for them? Not very many. And the cost of doing that is some years they're absorbed, they're astronomical. Like this year, as cold as the weather was in Hood River, our electric, as we pay the electric bill, we pay the water. There's no, they have no expenses at all, and we don't charge rent for the for this housing. And so some years, the electrical costs alone were almost doubled this winter because of the electric costs. We don't pass those costs on. We don't charge rent. We don't want to get in the renting business. But with the added costs of these labor bills that we've been facing, we can do things like charge for electricity and charge for water. We have, and in the farming business, it's hard to recoup your costs because we're on a supply and demand basis. We can't control the weather. We can't control how much our crop is every year due to the weather. We can't control our crop. It's a worldwide market, and we can't raise the price of our fruit or any ag product just because our costs go up. It's all supply and demand. So the good Senator Courtney came up, and Ramon Ramirez came up to Hood River and visited my farm last summer. And visited our camps, came to my house. We went to another site, Mike Oates, where Mark Johnson, Representative Mark Johnson, was building a brand new labor housing on the farm tax credit that's available now. Well, and so we got to talking about the costs of, like I said, the expense costs, cost of remodeling, cost of upkeep, electrical and water, and Senator Courtney came up with the idea that maybe the state would be able to give tax credits on those costs. Not, this is totally separate from the building costs that we're doing now. This would be on upkeep, maintenance, electric, and those kind of things. And so we set it forth. Senator Courtney made a work group, and Ramon attended. We had a whole bunch of people attended, and we came up with community housing would be able to use this, and we'd reach it out. So basically, it kind of started out just as in Senator Courtney's room as farm labor housing, but it's morphed from that. It's gone way up from that. And really, my kind of thing on this is, why is agriculture the only industry basically in the country that provides housing for their workforce? And with the housing shortage that we have today, if you look around, if there's some way that we can entice other people to provide housing for their workforce, maybe we wouldn't have a housing shortage. On farms, we don't have to get a permit to put in a farm labor housing, as long as we're not using it for rent. We can put it anywhere on our farm, conditional use, of course, but no neighbors can stop it. It's not my backyard. They can't do any of that stuff. So I think in the future, maybe if we really look at this, it might be a way to ease the housing dilemma that the state's in. Nobody really talks about this, but I think if we maybe in next year, if we take a really hard look at this, we might this bill might promote some of that thinking. So thanks for taking the time to listen today, and turn it over to Senator Courtney.
Thank you.
Chair Hass, Vice Chair Boquist, Senator Taylor, Senator Riley. My name is Peter Courtney. I'm a state senator, District 11, which includes portions of Salem, Jervis, and Woodburn. I'm here today to support Senate Bill 1, or the Agriculture Workforce Housing Operations Tax Credit. It creates an income tax credit for operating housing for agricultural workers. This bill comes out of a very hard-working interim work group. Representatives from the work group are here today and will explain the bill much better than Peter, Michael, Coleman, Courtney can. I'm here to talk about why agriculture worker housing is so important. Oregon is facing a housing crisis. That crisis is especially pervasive for Oregon's agriculture workers. These are the folks who harvest our food. They quite literally feed Oregon. Housing is an essential need, as we all know. Without safe and affordable housing, our communities suffer. Without safe and affordable farm worker housing, our communities suffer. Families don't have a safe place to sleep. Children miss school. Farmers lose workers. Crops go unharvested. I'm very passionate about this issue. A lot of people have worked very, very hard on this bill. I hope you will join me in supporting this important piece of legislation. Thank you for being willing to hold a public hearing on this bill, Mr. Chair. One last thing. This was handed to me this morning by my staff. Anna Braun and my staff worked tirelessly for months with the work group on this issue. She deserves high praise. This was just apparent hard on me. The supporters include Your Honorable Senator Chuck Thompson, the Farm Bureaus, Fruit Growers, PECUN, CASA, Oregon Opportunity Network, 1,000 Friends of Oregon. Now, let me just emphasize that again. In this day and age of division and hatreds and dislike and anger with each other, they gave me that, and I went, glory be to God. No, I'm sorry, I'm not getting into religion. I said, I cannot believe this. I mean it. Because you all know what I'm about to say. That is a very, nothing to do with me. That is significant in this day and age. I don't need to go further with that. That is magnificent. Now, you do what you want with the bill, but I am very proud because I never thought I'd see that. That is remarkable in this day and age in terms of coming together, diverse interest, rural, urban, you name it. You name it. I said 1,000 friends. I said Farm Bureau. I could go around the list. Now, I know that people don't have mixed emotions about tax credits because they visit with me in the lunchroom and make it very clear to me how they feel about the bill. I get it. You're supreme beings. You'll decide what you want to do with this. And I also understand, if I got no money, we got problems. So I understand that one, too. I get it. Trust me, I get it. So, you know, I know you say, why are you doing this, Peter? I don't know. Maybe just throw back. I was, long before any of you were born, I was a legal aid lawyer. And I was two blocks up the street. Now, I'm not going to talk to you about what a legal aid lawyer is. You probably don't even know what that is. But legal aid lawyers, I was involved with this issue so many years ago. And it's always been a part of me for reasons I won't go into. So this is more than just a tax credit to me. Housing for farm workers, I'm just not going to carry that statement further. When I went up to his place and I started to see... He had no idea what I was thinking. He never will. Representative Johnson has no idea what Peter was thinking. And I'm not going to tell you what I was thinking because I go a long way back with farm worker housing, long before Paycoon, even heard of, long before this gentleman, long before. So I'm attempting something here to acknowledge you can't just build it. You got to maintain it. You got to maintain it. And I'll do whatever it takes. You can call me whatever you want, pragmatic. Rising above principle, think of me what you will. But I'll tell you, I want the homes kept fit for the families and the workers. So that's what it is. So that's my statement. I always file a written statement on a committee with whatever I do out of respect for the committee. So you have my statement online. It's here. I really appreciate you even holding a hearing on this because I know, Mr. Chair, you have mixed emotions about it. I get it. And your committee has mixed emotions. I get it. So you were good enough to hold the hearing. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Any questions for two senators? Ramon, why don't you give us your presentation?
Yeah, I just want to clarify for the record. My name is Ramon Ramirez, president of the Farmworker Union, Pitcoon. And I was invited to this panel by the two distinguished senators. It seems like they think that if I was present on the first panel that I'll rub some luck into this committee.
Have and some extra credibility.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Right. And we have this thing with Senator Thompson that we've worked on about 8 bills together and have passed all 8 of them when we have this kind of left-right coalition. So
good mojo.
Yeah, so anyway, I just want to, for the record, my name is Ramon Ramirez, and I was part of the work group. I want to say that our membership is in support of this bill. You know, we benefit greatly from decent housing, and we feel that this bill, if passed, will establish a tax credit that will not only maintain the stock of housing that we have, but also leverage potentially other funding for maintaining and building and developing farmworker housing. We were part of this stakeholder group that basically this bill got vetted in a what's called the Farm Worker Facilitation Team, which is a coalition of many, many groups led by the Community Housing and Service Agency. And so it was vetted in that committee. And then there was a smaller group working on this bill in the interim. As Senator Thompson mentioned, it was led by his legislative director, Anna Brom, and I want to thank her for all the hard work that she put into it. But we really think that this bill is a step in the right direction. I want to highlight two things. One is that this also benefits organizations like the one I represent called Farmworker Housing Development Corporation. I think we have some of the best housing And we're a model for the country in terms of how to build housing in communities, in urban areas, for farm workers. It's not only about housing, but we have we also do a leadership institute, an education centers in all of the housing that we built. You know, I really believe that we were able to increase the graduation rate at Woodburn High School. We went from the lowest to one of the highest in 13 years because of this partnership that we have between the school district and the Farm Worker Housing Development Corporation, the organization that I'm chair of the board of. And so this will allow us also not only for farmers to apply for these tax credits, but for community-based housing, we can use, we'll be able to access that those funds to leverage other existing funds and potential funds from the outside to continue the development and sustaining of farm worker housing. The other thing I want to address, and I think Senator Courtney mentioned this, is that there's, and also Senator Thompson, that there are some bad actors out there. There are some growers that that don't provide decent housing to its workforce, right? We think that this bill is an incentive, right, to bring in those people and say, you know, if you want to play by the rules of the game and you want to, you know, you provide decent housing for folks and you do it the right way, then you can, there's an incentive for you. And I really believe that the message that we're sending to those growers that are not doing the right thing and are taking advantage of workers is here you have a way out. You have a way to correct a long-standing wrong. So we think that has additional benefits in that sense. So on behalf of our members, our 6,500 members of PECUN, we strongly support passage of this bill. And as I said, I think it's a really good step in the right direction for our agricultural community.
Thank you, Ramon. Any questions? Senator Thompson, I think my takeaway from you is if you go into the Senate President's office and whine, yeah, you'll eventually get something you want. That's never worked for me.
Is that right?
This wasn't your bill.
No,
this
I know.
This is my idea.
No, I know. It's why it's Senate Bill 1.
That's your
bill. You're right.
All right. Thank you. We've got a lot of people to hear from.
Thanks. Thank you.
We have some people from the Gorge that I'd like to get up here so we don't run out of time. We're going to close down shortly before 10. So Mike Dole, Adam McCurry, you guys here?
Thank you.
Good morning, committee. Thanks for seeing us. Thanks. My name is Mike Doak with the Columbia Gorge Fruit Growers, and this is Adam McCarthy of Trout Creek Farm Management Orchard. That's from Parkdale, Oregon. We are from Senator Thompson's district and have been working closely with Senator Thompson on Senate Bill 1, and our organization strongly supports it. The Columbia Gorge Fruit Growers is an organization of 440 growers representing pear crops, apple crops, and cherry crops. As has been mentioned earlier today, most of our housing for that farm labor is provided by the grower. In an area that's seen housing pressures like communities around Oregon, but with the additional pressures of a national scenic area, that limits the kind of construction that could happen outside urban boundaries. Our growers, however, have always provided housing, good housing for the farm labor, finding that as a excellent resource to ensure that they have good workers year in and year out. Of our 440 growers, most of those are multi-generation farm operations that have managed these properties and orchards for generations. Many of their workers are going into their second generations as well as far as farm labor housing. Adam will discuss more about how we've seen the transition from temporary summer housing or fall housing during the harvest to more year-round housing and family housing. We do have a slideshow that's been prepared that shows some of our housing and the quality of it. We, of course, have to build for Columbia Gorge conditions, and these are all good airtight, OSHA-approved housing where we keep our farm labor. Chuck addressed the cost of maintenance earlier. Some of the housing that we've looked at, the annual cost for a unit is $1,500. Sometimes it's often higher. It depends on the kind of material and how energy efficient the property is. I don't know when you want to go into our slideshow, but can I turn it over to Adam right now and have him address the property that he has on his farm?
Sure. Thank you, Mike. Chair Haas, members of the committee, I'd love to be here today. My name is Adam McCarthy. I'm a parent apple grower in Parkdale, located in the Hood River Valley. I'm here today to testify in favor of Senate Bill 1. Hood River faces a unique challenge with extremely high costs of real estate. I have supervisors who are 30-year employees with joint household incomes of $80,000 to $100,000, and they cannot afford to buy their own home in Hood River County. You really have to get closer to the $125,000, $150,000 mark of joint household income before you can afford to touch a property in Hood River County. I have several, 6 or 7 years of experience in Medford managing tree fruit operations there. Many employees in similar positions with similar joint household incomes could afford to buy fairly nice houses in the southern Oregon. So it's a county-by-county situation, and Hood River County definitely faces, I would say, from an agricultural perspective, the worst housing crisis in the state, because we cannot move our higher-end people up into their own home. It's really difficult. For Hood River growers and the ag community, ag industry in Hood River to remain economically viable, I really think it's important that we continue and have support to provide good farm worker housing. Agricultural worker housing is dynamic, as is the workforce itself. There's been a dramatic shift in the workforce over the last 20 years. 20 years ago, we primarily had a seasonal migrant workforce that came and worked a summer season and then moved on to another area, another crop. Over the last 20 years, we've moved predominantly to a model where we have full-time permanent residents, year-round employees. My core staff now receives 10 months or more work, and they receive year-round 12-month housing as being part of a member of our core staff. I think that's important. It's better for the community. It's better for schools in terms of class size adjustments and things like that. It's a good thing to support. And so I'm in favor of trying to move towards a model where we recognize full-time year-round farm worker housing and we support year-round full-time farm worker housing. We currently house 13 families year-round. Some of those, both husband and wife or two members of the household work for us, and some it's just one. Typically, housing for these families is a 2 to 3 bedroom, 1 bath unit, average size of 700 to 900 square feet. There's some photos I had a handout with some of our family housing on there. We have some single family housing as high as 1,500 to 2,000 square feet as well. Average monthly cost for utilities for these units are approximately $250 a month. That includes water, garbage, gas, and electric, and a contribution to long-term septic maintenance. We do regular repair and remodel to keep these units in good repair. We often remodel kind of on a rotation, bathrooms and kitchens, interior paint, exterior paint. That runs another $65 to $75 per unit per month when you add that, when you look at those long-term repair and maintenance costs on top of that.
Adam, are you going to go through the slides?
I think Mike is.
Okay.
And I don't know if some of our units are in there or not.
I only mention that because we do have a bunch of people behind you that
okay.
need to get them.
Almost to the end here.
Okay.
One thing is OSHA regulations. A lot of our year-round permanent single-family housing is not registered with OSHA currently. It does not have to be because it's single-family. One reason for that is the OSHA rules were written 30, 40 years ago, and they really pertain. They work very well for a seasonal migrant farm worker housing setting, but they do not work for year-round housing. I would love to register my year-round housing, but I'd like OSHA to update the rules that which apply to that year-round housing so there's actually a framework that it fits into. And so I think an important part of this bill moving along and getting more people on board, like was mentioned earlier, to actually register their housing and have it on the radar, I think, is to change the Oregon OSHA housing rules, farm worker housing rules, to recognize basically year-round housing. And that's pretty much what I have to say today. Thank you very much for your time and consideration on this matter.
Thanks, Adam. I'll go through the presentation quickly here, Senators. I do want to note of our 440 members, a good 75% are on family farms that are under 50 acres. So as you look at these properties, realize these are family operations, and these are substantial investments that are being made in this housing. So again, we offer our support to SB 1. This is a property in Parkdale, Oregon, Valley Crest Orchard. This is a unit, a couple of units with, I think, a total of 5 individual units. units inside. There are three bedroom, two bedroom, single bedroom units designed for families. There's a common area. You can see there's an open area at the end of one of the buildings that they can enjoy the sun. And of course, it's in a beautiful setting. This is a closer view of that. It includes, this housing was built in 2008. It's about $100,000 is what it costs. The cost per square foot is about $100, $125 for this housing. And this has been OSHA approved. Here's the outdoor area we spoke about. And again, this is another property. This utility average is a little bit lower again because a lot of the this is actually pertains to the earlier slide. This is concrete and pretty well built up, metal roof, metal sides, pretty efficient. And this is another look at another property. Of course, these are all safe, decent housing. It's provided for our workers in an area that it's almost impossible to find housing for. We have a difficult time to retain research, agriculture research professionals, because they cannot find housing. So we need to find every way we can to make sure we maintain our labor force. Thank you again, Columbia Gorge Fruit Growers. Oh, here's an interior shot. Columbia Gorge Fruit Growers. Fully supports Senate Bill 1. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Mary Kyle McCurdy from 1000 Friends of Oregon.
Good morning, Chair Hess and members of the committee. My name is Mary Kyle McCurdy, Deputy Director of 1000 Friends of Oregon. We're here in support of Senate Bill 1. It represents the intersection of two issues on which we work closely, the health of Oregon's agricultural industry and affordable housing. We have a Farmers Advisory Committee that represents growers from around the state, dozens and dozens, who all support this bill. One of the chairs of that committee is a grower in Hood River that I know is active on this bill as well. And so they're very well versed in it and know that it would have benefits around the state, in addition to in Hood River and other areas that are farming close to urban cores where there are affordable housing issues inside the urban area. As has been mentioned, this tax credit would benefit the operational aspects of farm worker housing, and when this is coupled with existing agricultural worker housing tax credits, it can be a very powerful contribution to safe housing for our agricultural workers. Thank you.
Thank you. I know that the Senate President really appreciates your weighing in here, 1000 Friends. I do, too. This is a delicate line for your organization, given our land use system, so appreciate
thank you. I did feel like there should be like a hallelujah chorus after Senator Courtney.
I'm the farmer. I'm with him, okay?
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Molly McGarger.
Frank.
Mel?
Melee.
That's what I said, Melee. Come on up.
Good morning, Chair Hess, members of the committee. I was just here yesterday. Senator Taylor probably remembers a short while ago. So what happens when you my name, for the record, I'm sorry, I apologize. My name is Molly McCarger. I'm a fourth-generation farmer from about 10 minutes north of Kaiser. So when you live this close to the Capitol, you get emails at 11 o'clock at night, especially pertaining to topics that are important to your farm organization. You do what you can to get in here. And then you make double work of it and see your accountant afterwards to hopefully share some good news with her. One of the reasons that I did come in is we have registered farm labor housing with OSHA. We've had farm labor housing for as long as I can remember, and which is about 40 years we've had housing. I'm now in charge of that, and we work really hard to make sure we provide opportunities for our employees. Our housing that is registered with OSHA is seasonal. It is open and registered from June through October. And what we have primarily used it for was our cherry crew that would travel up from California. What we're seeing now, though, is once they leave, we're seeing a need for housing. A labor contract that we use for other crops has been contacting us and asking if we have availability of housing, because they've got crews that they need to find homes for that want to come up to Oregon and work, and they can't find adequate housing for them. And so we have opened up our camp housing to the crews through October. But then unfortunately, come October 31st, when our registration is over, we have to then say, I'm sorry, you're going to have to find another location for them. One of the labor challenges currently that we're facing is you hear a shortage. I think there is a shortage, but I think the shortage is primarily due to the lack of housing availability. There are folks, they just don't know where to come to stay to be able to work. And I think that this would help us be able to enhance our facilities. We were just discussing this literally 2 weeks ago. My brother and I were having the conversation about we need to do something to make our housing more year-round, because our labor contractor asked in February if they could come and house a family. And I said, I wish we could, but it's not registered till June, and it's not really quite ready for this unusual February weather. So we were discussing the need to maybe look into upgrading our facilities and making them more year-round. And but when your margins on a good year are profit margins are 0.5% to maybe 1, it doesn't leave a lot of extra room on top of the expenses already incurred throughout the year for those maintaining the housing. So this is a very important, I think, bill, and it would greatly provide an additional resource for farmers to be able to provide housing, safe and adequate housing for our workforce. And I thank you for your time and encourage you to support Senate Bill 1.
Thank you. Frank.
My name is Frank Mele, M-E-L-E, and I am the retired director, or one of the retired directors, of St. Joseph's Shelter in Mount Angel. And I live in Silverton. I sort of feel like Senator Courtney in that he was probably getting into this business of being a senator when I was running the shelter. So pardon the ancient history. Unfortunately, a part of it is still around. And after I left, we had two old dormitories, and we put 70 migrants into each dormitory. And somehow we managed to make the safety codes and everything else. But they were old when we started, and of course now they're unusable. Fortunately, one of them has been turned into 10 units of affordable housing for agricultural workers. But unfortunately, that doesn't meet the other need of, now you've got them open, how do you keep them open? And I think other people here have spoken very eloquently about ain't no such thing as a free lunch, even if you're the people who's providing the food for the lunch. And to see the changes and to see the stability that full-time housing provides for people who maybe never had full-time housing in their life, and allows them to really come here and share in the American dream, or go back home to where they came from and come back at a season. The issue remains the same. Yes, we can build it, but unless we keep them open, why have them? And in Marion County, this is it. There is no other housing for farm workers. And unfortunately, I think we can see that throughout the state that's very much still the case. So we got two options. We got three options: do nothing, let the problem fester. Secondarily, make it somehow part of the tax structure, and good, the building did not fall on top of me as I said that. And thirdly, take the other option, which is indeed a compromise, and that is tax credits. In one way, I've always thought about tax credit and tried to wrap them around my head, and I said, aha, this is the thing that helps the rich keep their riches, because they get a benefit back for it. They also do some very, very good, because these are community needs that need to get done. And but it also gives other people an opportunity, hopefully, to understand and appreciate that need as well as you do as senators. So until something better comes along, I urge you to pass this bill.
Thank you. Any questions for this panel?
I have to say, I'm kind of disappointed Senator Courtney hasn't come out and toured my farm. I mean, I'm closer. I'm kind of in the Jervis
you should get on
area.
You should
Isn't he your senator, too?
Well, I'm on the other side of the freeway, but I'm on the Jervis School Board, so I get to harass Senator Courtney occasionally for a school district. So thank you for your time.
Peter Hanley, Jenny Dressler, and Jerome Brooks, as they come up, there are a lot of people who have filed testimony in support on OLIS and are not testifying today, including the Oregon wine growers are in full support of Senate Bill 1. Welcome.
Thank you. Senator Haas, members of the committee, my name is Peter Hanley. I'm Executive Director of Community and Shelter Assistance Corporation, CASA of Oregon, also the co-convener of the Agricultural Workforce Housing Coalition with our friends at Oregon Opportunity Network. I sat on the work group along with folks from Oregon Farm Bureau, Columbia Gorge, fruit growers, and others. And when I joined the group, it was really to try and figure out how this would work for community-based housing. While CASA has done housing both on the farm, really our focus is on community-based. And so we were looking at ways to be able to use this tax credit to expand that housing within the community so families could be closer to the schools and closer to the services. Since there are others waiting, I will just end there and let my fellows talk. Thanks.
Thanks. Chair Haas, members of the committee, my name is Jenny Dressler, and I represent the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. We are the state's largest general ag association, representing 7,000 member farming and ranching families across the state. We actually felt very privileged to be able to participate in the discussion that Senator Courtney convened and that the great folks who've testified today were able to speak to as well. And I don't need to belabor the details. You all have the details of the credit. I just want to talk about how this was such a hard-fought compromise. I think for folks at the table, I know we all came together. We worked for probably close to a year through our different forums on how we could make this work. Everybody knew what the need was, and that was to provide safe and adequate housing to the ag workforce. For our sector, we have a workforce availability issue, and I know that housing is plays a very significant role in that. So I'm very proud of the work group concept that came out, and urge your support of Senate Bill 1.
Chair Hassan, members of the committee, Amanda Dalton on behalf of the Columbia Gorge Fruit Growers, and I know you've heard from our executive director and a grower. I feel like Ramon should be up here because we really did spend about 6 months together. Echo many of the comments made by Farm Bureau. We acknowledge that you are in a tough budget crisis. However, we do ask that you consider the language before you. As Jenny mentioned, it is a product of true negotiation back and forth. And took multiple drafts to get it exactly where it is before you today. And we do hope that whether it's funded today or in the future, that this can be an additional tool for farmers who continue to provide really high-quality housing year-round, for the most part, to their workers, to maintain an ag workforce in this state that we really struggle oftentimes to continue to provide. So we appreciate your consideration and your time today.
Questions? Thank you. I do have Jody Weiser signed up. I don't see her in the room. And I want to make sure everybody who traveled here from outside the area has had a chance to weigh in on this. I'm not leaving out anybody. Thank you all for your engagement on Senate Bill 1, to Senators Courtney and Thompson.
There's Jody.
The bottom of the ninth.
I just testified in another room. About a different housing project.
Okay.
And that one was great because it'll help the neediest. This bill I'm testifying against as Jody Weiser for Tax Fairness Oregon, because these units that you will be helping already have the ability to get up to OSHA standards under current law. The public will pay 50% of the cost of any improvements that need to be made. And so what you're really being asked to do with this bill is to provide all sorts of extra benefits to people who already have homes. Utilities, the management fees, the insurance for their homes. 50% of it is going to be covered by the public, by school kids, when we have people who are homeless. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like a good place to put our priority. We subsidize housing for one industry as an industry piece of housing, and that's farm worker housing. We have other subsidized housing, but we don't have Walmart housing. We don't have back room of restaurant housing. We don't have special housing projects just for maids, and yet those people all have low incomes as well. And they can be living in their cars at this point in time because they can't find housing. That's where we need to be putting any additional resources we have for housing, not into utilities and insurance and managers for nonprofit housing units, or to bring property on farms up to OSHA standards when we already have a program that will fully fund 50% of that. That's already in our lot. It costs us about $4 million this coming biennium is what is expected. It's also no reason to consider the idea of a refundable tax credit. The nonprofits who would benefit already meet standards. The businesses that would like to have a refundable tax credit want a refundable tax credit because they're paying no income taxes, so they're subject to the corporate minimum, and they can't use a tax credit against the corporate minimum. So a refundable tax credit is the way to get money when it's time to pay taxes. And that doesn't make sense as a way to use our resources either. The farm industry receives over $500 million in biennium, this biennium in subsidies. $350 million is in the farmland subsidy, but the rest of it is in a multitude of other subsidies. And I have the data on that, but unfortunately my computer crashed yesterday, so I'll have to put it in for testimony later. And they have property tax, income tax, estate tax, all sorts of other kinds of land abatement subsidies. Where the industry is subsidized at over $500,000 this biennium, and their income taxes paid are minus $5 million as a group. Their income taxes are minus $5 million. The difference between a good year in farming and a bad year in farming and their taxes is basically a difference between $150 million of loss and $350 million of loss, where other income earned by the family is the taxes reduced on it because of the declaration of farm loss. So for three reasons, we think you should not move this legislation out of this committee. One, to pay for utilities and insurance for some people when we don't have housing for others doesn't make sense. To use money to try to incent behavior to enforce an OSHA law doesn't make sense. Every industry has OSHA laws they have to enforce. We don't have tax credits because your machinery is safe. We don't have tax credits for you because you do the right thing in the kitchen at your restaurant. Yet we have tax credits for farmers if they have safe housing for their and adequate housing for their workers. And we already have a law that pays for half of the cost. Finally, if you're doing this for this group of people, what you're really doing is paying somebody for not doing criminal behavior. If they're not meeting OSHA standards, that's criminal behavior. And why would we say we have to incent a change rather than support the law? That would be the place to bring the housing up to standards. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions?
I have one question.
Senator Taylor.
Thank you, Chair Hess. Can you remind us, please, who you represent?
Tax Fairness Oregon.
And who, can you tell us about
who we are?
Yeah.
You know, organizations are funny these days, right? So we have about 2,500 people on our Facebook as Facebook friends.
Okay.
We have about 1,700 people who receive our e-blasts, and there are about 12 of us that will be meeting Friday morning, and they're the steering committee for the group. So they're the ones that tell me, you know, where we stand on various bills and help write the testimony.
Yes, you were speaking, you were using a lot of references to we and other industries, and et cetera, you referenced Walmart, you referenced other things, and you seem to be the only person here testifying against this bill, and no one else, the other organizations. I just want to put on the record that you're the only person actually here testifying against the bill.
I haven't been in the room because I was in the other room, but I saw the list. And actually, many of the people who are testifying for this bill were testifying for the other bill. No, they want services for low-income housing. I just don't think, and I favor, personally, and my group favors, subsidies for low-income housing, not this piece of legislation.
Thank you. Thank you, Jody. Very quick question before we go. Chris, if we were to move and swap the corporate income tax with the business activities tax, what would it do to this bill? How would this look?
Mr. Chair, the way this bill is currently crafted, the credit applies to businesses who are taxed through the personal income tax as well as the corporate excise tax. Under the switch policy change that you're referring to, the credit for the corporation side would effectively go away because that tax would go away and then the credit would follow suit because there wouldn't be any tax to offset.
Okay. As I recall looking at the tax expenditure report, it's like 3/4 is taken through personal income tax and 1/4 by corporations in the current law that supports farm worker housing.
Okay, thank you, Jody. And again, thank all of you, especially those who traveled here from the Gorge. The next step for this bill is at the Joint Tax Credit Committee, which will be meeting in a matter of weeks or months. And so unless there's anything else here today, we will adjourn until Monday at 8:30.